every now and then he gets a little bit of a red face, gets fired up, because he'll bring passion for sure to the job. The president of hockey operations is now Brian Burke in Pittsburgh. And Ron Hextall, going to the dark side from Philly. Now he's in Pittsburgh with the Penguins in a much different situation because the Pens are still in a win-now situation. Seth Robaugh joins us, a longtime beat reporter for the Penguins. And you know, Jim Rutherford was there. That guy wasn't afraid to wheel and deal. He made a lot of trades, more than almost all the other GMs combined the last few years. Seth, what was it that led to him resigning?
I'm not quite sure anyone knows that, at least publicly. I can tell you for one, though, I think he was very exhausted over the past 10 months in terms of trying to navigate a very, very new landscape with regards to a lot of the rules that are in place with regards to the, you know, the pandemic and whatnot. In years past, when things were good, when you know, when you didn't have a pandemic to contend with, he had a lot of lieutenants in place, guys like Jason Bodro and Bill Guerin and Tom Fitzgerald. A lot of people he would delegate, you know, duties to or authority to. And in years past, they never really fully replaced those guys when they went on to become general managers of their own team. And yeah, and I think a lot of those duties really kind of fell on the GM, particularly over the last 10 months in trying to figure out how to, you know, handle a taxi squad or a quarantine or, you know, how to get a roster together for the postseason tournament back in September. So I think part of it, Jim had just been exhausted in trying to deal with a lot of the day-to-day granular stuff that he had not been dealing with, you know, at least early on in his tenure with the Penguins. So, and I think there was maybe some friction there too, resulting from when Jason Karmanos had parted ways with the organization back in October. Again, I think there's a whole series of things, but I think for the most part, Jim had just really had been exhausted or worn out by the past 10 months of his job, just given everything that had kind of gone down throughout the world.
Okay, that's fair. So now they bring in Hextall and Brian Burke, and we're seeing, like, Ron Hextall had the kind of the long play strategy in Philadelphia, you know, keep their team competitive but looking to the future all the time, and it's worked. And you look at the Flyers now, they're a pretty good team. Pittsburgh, though, he comes in, I know yesterday he said, hey, I'm not a one-trick pony. This is different. So when you look at their team, Seth, What can they do to keep them, you know, as a cup contender? Because when you got Crosby and Malkin, you still want to feel you're a cup contender. What pieces do you think they need to add?
Well, I think they need to kind of beef up their bottom six. You know, they're a pretty top-heavy team in terms of what they have at the top six, assuming everyone's healthy, which is always a big assumption with this group. But they probably can beef up their bottom six. And in some way, shape, or form, they have to get people healthy on defense. The one thing that's really, I think, bedeviled them throughout this whole season has been their defense in terms of the injuries. Only one defenseman has played all 11 games this year. That's been John Marino, a former Edmonton Oilers prospect. They've had other people in and out of the lineup for injuries or other matters. Yannick Weber, who they had to sign off the street, I mean, he had to drive across six states to meet the team to play a game for you know, back in New York like 2 weeks ago. So they've had some massive issues on defense that I think, you know, ideally, we'll get better with time, just getting people healthy. But again, I think ultimately, you know, just improving the depth, whether it's with the bottom six or your defense, will go a long way. And also, too, I think they need to take a real good look at their goaltending. You know, Tristan Jarry, who was an outstanding player there, you know, many years ago with the Edmonton Oil Kings there, he's been anointed the number one guy here finally. They moved out Matt Murray this past offseason. They finally turned to Tristan Jarry, and he's been underwhelming. So far, I think he's like 2-3-1 so far, and his numbers, you know, goals against, I believe it's, you know, in the high threes, and his save percentage is still under 900. So they need something more out of him. Casey DeSmith's a fine backup, but he's not a guy you can turn to, I think, as a 1A option. So I think they need to look at their goaltending and find ways to get a little bit more out of that area too. But there's definitely some good pieces in place. I think that it would justify still maybe taking a run at the Stanley Cup this year, but I think they need to kind of beef up their depth in a couple areas.
So what do they have, though, to offer to do that? I don't know. Did we lose Seth? We might have lost Seth there. Cons? Well, let's see. That's just, boom. Well, it's perfect timing. Just went out right at the end of his answer. But because I look at their lineup and their prospects, Seth, like, what do you sense? Like, Brian Burke has a history of not being afraid to wheel and deal. And there was a rumor coming out of Pittsburgh, I'm not sure how true it was, that, you know, Rutherford had a deal for Letang, but the ownership didn't want him to move him. A, any truth to that? B, like, is Letang a guy that they can move? Or is are there other pieces you think that the teams would be interested to try to fill out those holes you just mentioned?
Chris Letang, as far as any kind of deal there, Jim Rutherford has roundly discredited or dismissed any sort of notion that he had a deal in the making. He said that after the fact, after he had resigned 2 weeks ago. So take that for what it's worth. In years past, Jim Rutherford never dismissed the idea of trading Chris Letang. I don't think he ever looked at him quite the same way as, say, Sidney Crosby or Evgeny Malkin, but by his word, he said he did not have anything pending there that would have maybe led to his departure here in Pittsburgh. And as far as, I guess you guys asked about, the prospects and stuff like that. They're one of the shallowest prospect pools in all the NHL. And that's by design. You know, over the years, they've traded away so many first-round picks and future assets. And that goes back way back to when Ray Sherrow was the general manager here, 15 years ago. When they were trading for guys like Marion Hossa and Gary Roberts, they were dealing away prospects and first-round picks and stuff like that. So that's been by design throughout, the course of the Crosby-Malkin era here. And that bill's going to come due at some point here. They have, they don't have a first-round pick this year coming up. I don't think they have one next year as well. So that's, again, like I said, that's been by design. But, again, at some point, after Crosby and Malkin and Letang leave, you have to play hockey still. So I think that's one thing that appealed to the Penguins with Ron Hextall, was given how well he helped build up the talent pool in Los Angeles, 10 years ago, and what he did, 5 years ago in Philadelphia, building up that talent pool. You look at that Philadelphia lineup of the 23 active players on that roster, 14 were acquired by Ron Hextall, or while Ron Hextall was there, and predominantly most of those guys were acquired through the draft. So I think the Penguins looked at what Ron Hextall was able to do in that area, and I think, again, they're starting to maybe kind of look around the corner and see what's on the around the corner after Crosby, Malkin depart here, and they realize they don't have a lot of in-house options as far as their prospect pool.
Seth Rohrbaugh joins us on Edmonton Sports Leader TSN 1260. What's the update on Brian Dumoulin?
Still out, I would say a week-to-week basis. He hasn't even skated just yet, so he's been around practice a little bit, watching from the benches areas and stuff and everything like that. So that's actually encouraging, but that would certainly signify he doesn't need any kind of surgery, but still going to be a guy that's out for a little bit here. In the meantime, they've actually turned to P.O. Joseph, one of the guys they got from Arizona in the Phil Kessel trade, and he's been a revelation. I mean, he has, like, I think, 4 or 5 points in, like, 6 games here. Got his first goal the other night in Long Island, just a beautiful shot. A guy that they were really high on for a lot of reasons, but even with that, those high aspirations, I don't think they expected him to be this far along in his development. He's a guy that added almost about 20 pounds of muscle this past off season, and it really took a big step forward in terms of his physical development. And as far as how he looks at the game mentally and stuff like that, I mean, he looks like a guy that's been playing the league for 5 or 6 years, just the way he can find shooting lanes or just, anticipate, bank passes off of boards and things like that. So that's actually, of just all the problems they've had on defense, P.O. Joseph has actually been a ray of sunshine for them, just based on what he's shown so far through 5 or 6 games of his NHL career.
And lastly, Seth, when you mentioned Malkin and Crosby, man, I've always heard whispers of Malkin. Next year is the final year of his contract. Like, he's 34 now, so he'll be 35. It seems odd thinking him not in a Pittsburgh Penguins jersey, but what do you make of that? Do you think he re-signs, starting next summer, I guess, an extension, or do you think they move on from him? What happens at the end of the 22 season?
I think all parties involved would like to see Evgeny Malkin finish his NHL career in Pittsburgh. Evgeny Malkin's very comfortable being kind of like a colonel to Sidney Crosby's general, if you'll pardon the military reference. He doesn't like, doing a lot of the media, obligations and, just being kind of the face of the team. I think he's very comfortable allowing Sidney Crosby to be that. And he kind of, is more than encouraged by being kind of in the back seat there in that regard. Now, if Evgeny Malkin has an opportunity to go back to Russia and make some significant money in his home country, and keep in mind, there's no taxes over there either with a lot of the financial obligations. I could see him doing that and having kind of like a victory lap in Russia and maybe playing into his 40s. But I think as far as his NHL career is concerned, I think he would like to finish out his career NHL career in Pittsburgh. And again, still just be kind of like secondary to Sidney Crosby in that regard.
Seth, we appreciate the rundown. It'll be interesting to see Burke and Hextall, and I don't know why. I just get a sense that there'll be some sort of action in the next 2 months with the Penguins, either bringing in some more draft picks or trying to make a run at it for this year.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, I don't think they brought these guys in to be shrinking violets, so I would anticipate once they get a little bit more acclimated, they'll start to make their impact here. But I appreciate the invitation, guys.